This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Sanhedrin, tape number 3.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Reb Shimshon Barav Yeshua Weg Zichron Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem, beginning with Parakeh Hayu Baitkin from the Mishnah. In the time of the Sanhedrin, they used to interrogate Edim with 7 chakiris. Number 1, which Shemitah cycle did the event take place? Number 2, which year? Number 3, the month? Number 4, the date? Number 5, the day of the week? Number 6, the time of the day? And number 7, where? Where did the event take place? The purpose of these questions is to allow the possibility of hazama. We know that by establishing the facts surrounding the case, if later on we find out that 2 Edim come along and say, Imanu Hayisem, these 2 Edim could not possibly have seen this particular event because they were with us, then the first pair of Edim are considered through Gzeres HaKosef as Edim Zaymimin. And we do to them, Kasher Zamam La'asais Li'achiv. They get the punishment that they tried to inflict on the defendant. So the purpose of these questions really is to allow the possibility of hazama. By knowing when the event took place and where the event took place, it's possible that other Edim could come along and say, well, if the event took place on Tuesday night, it's impossible that you could have seen it because you were with us in some other particular city. Rabbi Yossi says, there are only 3 questions of Chakira that we ask. Number 1, the date. Number 2, the time. And number 3, the place. After these questions, these Chakiras are asked, they then ask him, are you sure this guilty person is the one you saw? Also, did you give him hasra? Did you give him a warning? The general rule is, whoever asks a lot of bedikas, i.e. peripheral questions like what clothes was the person wearing and so on, hareza mishubach. The bedikas are other side questions, aside from the questions, the 7 questions that we mentioned before. What is the difference, the Mishnah asks, between a chakira and a bedika? If one aid doesn't know the answer to a chakira, then the entire edus is pasul from everyone. If one of the edim doesn't know the answer to a bedika, then the edim remain kosher. If the 2 edim contradict each other, even in the case of a bedika, the edus is pasul, since now it's edus she'i ata yochel lahazima. It's impossible to create edim zayimin out of these, because in order to have edim zayimin, all of the edim have to have been found to be zayimin. And since here, one of the There's a contradiction. It's impossible to have Edim Zayimin. If one says the event took place on the 2nd day of the month of Iyar, for example, and one of them says it took place on the 3rd day of the month of Iyar, the Edus is still good, since one may not have known if the past month was considered Mole or Chaser. We know that in those days, before Hillel HaZaken established the calendar, they used to declare on Rosh Chodesh whether that particular day was Rosh Chodesh, or whether the month was Mole, whether it was a full 30 days, and therefore Rosh Chodesh wouldn't be till a day later. Well, it took a number of days for everyone to find this out, which day was actually Rosh Chodesh. So it's possible that in Beis or Gimel of the month, one of the Edim did not know that it was Rosh Chodesh was declared on a particular day, and therefore he may be one day off. Therefore we allow for the 2 Edim to be one day off in terms of their Edus, in terms of when the event possibly happened. A discrepancy of 1 hour, also we say the 2 Edim are good. However, if the discrepancy is 2 hours, then the Edus is puzzle, because it's impossible for 2 Edim to make a mistake of that magnitude. Rabbi Yehuda says, an hour gap is also considered good, unless one of the Edim said 11:30 a.m., and one of the Edim said 12:30, even though there was only 1 hour, but since one of them said that it really occurred before Chatzais, and one of them said it occurred after Chatzais, it would really be impossible for them to 2 Edim to make that kind of a mistake, because the sun is on really different sides, whether it's before noon or whether it's afternoon, because at high noon, the sun is directly above head. The Mishnah also says, Edim cannot come to be melamed zchus or chayva, since they're now biased. Once the Edim said their testimony, they can't come later on and say something which runs contrary to that. We know that there are dayanim who sit on this bezdin, but there were also, as we know, talmidim, students, who sat on the bezdin. A Talmud, although a normal person who sits on the Bezdin can come and make a point which is either l'schus or l'chayiv, a Talmud, however, can only come to be melamed schus. He cannot come to say something which goes against the defendant. The accused can also be melamed zchus for himself, as long as he says something that has some amashus to it. If after all the testimony is given, the Bezdin finds him to be innocent, then he's freed immediately. If they find him to be guilty, and therefore they have to put him to death, then they're not allowed to carry out the death penalty on that day, but they have to wait overnight. This is really to give them a chance to think it through very, very carefully and to talk it over, to make 100% sure that he deserved the death penalty, then the next day they would kill him. In between, the Dayanim would pair up in chavrusas and delve into the issues very, very well, again, to make sure that there isn't a schus for this person to, in order to save his life. In terms of each of the individual Dayanim and their votes in the case, if on day one a Dayan was melamed chayiv, in other words, he thought the person was guilty, and then overnight he thought about it and he changed his mind, and he said, you know, he's not guilty, he's innocent. That mind he can change. So now he could say he's innocent, and that vote will count as a vote of innocence. If, however, on the first day, the Dayan was melamed schus, where he thought the person was innocent, then he slept over it, changed his mind and thought he was guilty, that vote will not count, and he cannot change his mind in order to make a person guilty. He can only change his mind to make a person innocent. In order to find someone innocent, the whole Bezdin needs only a majority of one. However, to find a person guilty, they need a majority of two. If anyone abstains, then you need a replacement Dayan. And the Gemara says, the number of seven chakiris is learned from the pasuk in Devarim, v'darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev. The Gemara says we must ask the Edim some additional questions. Are you clear that he was Jewish? Did you warn him? Did he accept the hasra? Did he say, I know the einish, but I'm going to do it anyway? And finally, did the killing or did the act occur within the zman of teich k'dei dibor, very, very quickly after the hasra took place? The makor for hasra, for warning a person who is about to do an avera, the makor for this in the Torah, comes from Arias, that we see one must clearly understand the punishment for doing the particular avera. Daf Mem Aleph. Rabbi Yossi said that while most people need hasra before they can be punished, a Talmud Chacham does not, since he already knows the halachas. Any edus that is i'ato yochol lahazima, it's impossible to create a situation of edim zayamin, this is not considered good edus, since you can't be mekayim the din of kasha zamam. If one aid said the killing was with a sword, and one said the killing was with a knife, this is considered a contradiction, a hakchasha, and the edus is pasul, since this is an issue with the basic facts of the case, i.e. the type of the murder weapon which was used. Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai, we know, lived for 120 years, 40 years he spent in business, 40 years he learned Torah, and 40 years he taught Torah. 40 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas Hagazis, which was in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were unable, therefore, from that point on, to be dan dine nefashis. When in the Mishnah we say, if the two Edim are one day apart, on which day of the month the event took place, i.e. just before Rosh Chodesh, how long can we allow this? In other words, how many days into the month can we assume, if they're one day apart, it's only because one of the Edim did not hear when Rosh Chodesh was? Rabbi Yechanan says, Rubai Shel Chodesh. He has until the 15th of the month. After that, he technically should have heard when Rosh Chodesh is. So if there is a difference of one day when we're dealing with the 18th or the 19th of the month, then the Edus is considered Pasul, because that's called a Hakasha. By the 19th of the month, everybody should know when Rosh Chodesh had fallen out. Rabbi Yechanan asks, until what time in the month can one say the bracha of Kiddush Levana, i.e. until when is it called a new moon? Rabbi Yechanan said, until its indentation is filled. Once it fills up, we cannot say Mechadesh Chodashim. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can only say Kiddush Levana until the 7th day of the month. And the Hardah says, until the 16th day of the month, not including the 16th day. Daf Mem Beis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can only say the bracha of Mechadesh Chodashim until day 7, why can't, from day 8 and on, instead of saying the bracha of Mechadesh Chodashim, why don't we say the bracha of Vahatayv Vahametiv? Since after the day, as the days move on during the month, the moon gets bigger and bigger, and therefore there's more light outside. So therefore we should say the bracha of Vahatayv Vahametiv. This is fairly obvious, I think. When you go outside and there's no light in the street, well, the stronger the moon is, or the further along it is in the month, towards the 15th of the month, the more easier it is to see. I can recall once on a trip to Switzerland, this particular lesson was very obvious to me, because we were walking late at night, at about 10, 11 o'clock, along the side of a mountain, and it was very dark outside. But the fact that it was a full moon, or it was almost a full moon, we were able to see clearly where we were walking, because the moon actually lit up the side of the mountain and lit up the whole mountain. We were able to see. Had it been the first day of the month and there wouldn't have been a moon, it would have been impossible to do that, because you wouldn't have been able to see anything. Therefore, since the moon gives off light to the world, it would be perfect to say the bracha v'atayva metiv. Our answer is, when it comes less light, in other words, it gets more light until the 15th of the month. From the 15th, it actually gets smaller and smaller. So do we say the bracha of Dayan HaEmes? Since we don't say Dayan HaEmes when it gets smaller, we can't say Vatoiv Vahametiv when it gets larger. And neither bracha is said at all, neither the bracha of Dayan HaEmes or Vatoiv Vahametiv, since this isn't a periodic occurrence, which is when you would say Baruch Dayan HaEmes or Baruch HaTayv HaMeitiv, but rather it's something that happens every month. And if it's something that happens on a regular basis, that's not something that warrants either of these brachas. They said anyone who says the bracha of Kiddush Levana Bizmana, it's like he's Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Since by the new month it says HaChodesh HaZeh. And when we talk about the Shechina and giving kavod to the Shechina, it says Zeh Keli Vanveyu. So we have Zeh by both. Therefore there's a connection between Kiddush Levana and Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina. The Rabbeinu Yoina in Brachas says, Kiddush Levana is like Kabbalah Pnei Shechina, since it allows us to appreciate the godless of Hashem's capabilities. In fact, this mitzvah is so great, we should say it while we are standing. The Rama in Simen Tov Chav Vav Sif Beis explains that Klal Yisrael, while they're in Golos, is like Hashem's estranged wife. And Rosh Chodesh signifies the fact that we will ultimately be privileged to renew our marriage, so to speak, and return to Hashem, which is analogous to Rosh Chodesh. He writes that we therefore should rejoice and dance during Kiddush Levana, for it is similar to rejoicing at a chasana. And many people, in fact, have this minhag to dance by Kiddush Levana. Rav Acha said in Eretz Yisrael, the bracha for this was Baruch Atah Hashem Mechadesh Chodoshim. Rav Ashi said, this is too simple, that even women can say this. Therefore, it deserves a more complex bracha. It's interesting to point out that the Magen Avram in Siman Tov Chav Vav paskins that women are putter from the bracha of Kiddush Levana, since it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. The Chacham Shlema disagrees with this svara, and says Kiddush Levana is not really a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, since it isn't said regarding a timely manner, but rather on a manifestation of nature, which happens to come every single month. He compares this to the special bracha we make on Peres Ha'ilan in Nisan, where this is also not called a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. A woman can also make this bracha, and since that's something which is really a manifestation of nature, we do not make the bracha of Shehachiyanu. Rabbi Yehuda says, the nusach for Kiddush Levana is more complex. The bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Kena Melech Lam, Asher B'Mamore, Bara Shchakim, Uvuruach Piv Kol Tzavam, and so on and so forth, which is exactly what we make today. That Hashem created the moon and the stars, and it should be renewed each month, and it ends with the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Mechadesh Chadashim, which makes this whole thing a bracha, arucha, a long bracha. This long bracha is, in fact, what we do and what we say today, every month, when we do Kiddush Levana. When the Bezdin has to deliberate a case involving a death sentence, they shouldn't drink wine so as not to cloud their judgment. And finally, you cannot compare a situation where one embarrasses himself versus when he is embarrassed by other people. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin perek Vav, Nigmar Hadin. The Mishnah. If a defendant is found to be guilty, the following is the procedure for implementing the death of Skila, which is the strongest, the most chamor of all the mises. They take him out to stone him on the day of the verdict. We don't keep him waiting extra days due to inui hadin, unnecessary anguish. We know, of course, when we say the verdict, we're talking about the day after of deliberation, because as we mentioned before, when they deliberate a case, say on a Tuesday, then they would have to sleep over it till Wednesday. So we're talking now about Wednesday. But if the psak happens on Wednesday and they sentence him to death, then Wednesday would be the day they would take him out to death. They don't make him wait till Thursday. The Beis Haskila was far away from Bezdin. As the Pasuk says, Haitze es hamekalel, take him out. There was someone standing outside of Bezdin with handkerchiefs who asked people if anyone possibly can find a schus for this person before they kill him. Again, to give the person yet another opportunity, that if there's any chance or anybody has anything that could save this person from death, they wanted to give that opportunity the chance to arise. And even the defendant himself at that point can be melamed zchus, as long as his words have some mamashus. Gemara. The Beis Haskila should be far away from the Beis Din itself, so Beis Din don't become known as murderers. Also, in case there is an opportunity to be Melamed Zchus, we want to allow some extra time as possible for this to happen. Hence, it's far away, so there's yet another hour until they get him there, and then maybe someone will come forth within that hour. The Rambam, in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Beis, says the Beis Haskila must be at least 6 milin away from the Beis Din. 6 milin is about 6 kilometers, or about 4 miles. This is learned from the fact that by the Mishkan, the Beis Haskila was outside the Shalish Machnos, the Machne Yisrael. We should also say that these same halachas that we're talking about in terms of distance also applies to the places where the other mises took place, Sreifa, Hereg, and Chanak. They also have to be at least 6 milin away from the Beis Din. The Gemara says, just like by the Parim Hanisrafim, it says, Michutz LaMachana, and this refers to outside of the Shalish Machnos, so too, Chutz LaMachana, by Mises Beis Din, must be done a distance of at least Shalish Machnos for the Beis Din's city limits. Daf Mem Gimel. When one is stoned via Skila, we do it without his clothes on, and once he is killed with one stone, we don't throw any more of them at him. And he gets thrown, then, 2 flights down. The stone used for stoning, the wood used for hanging, etc., these come from community funds. They're paid for out of community funds. The guilty person does not have to pay for it. One who is being led out to be killed, we give him wine to drink with a bit of frankincense in it in order to intoxicate him to minimize the pain of the execution. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalad, excuse me, on Daf Mem Hei Amid Beis, says that the confessed criminal is told to say vidui, confession, before his execution, because the execution serves as a kapara for his avera, only in conjunction with his repentance and when he says vidui. Related to this, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Simen Shin Lamed Ches Sif Aleph says that if a person is very, very ill, someone else should tell him before he dies that he should say vidui in order for that to be mechaper for all of his averas. The next Mishnah. If they found a schus for the Beis Din, then he goes free. If they do not find a schus, then they take him out to be killed. An announcement goes out before him that Pliny ben Pliny is being led out to be killed for such and such an avera, and these people were his witnesses. Anyone who has a schus for him should come forward immediately. For example, Yeshu was brought to be killed since he incited the people to do Avodah Zarah, but they announced his pending death for 40 days. He got this special treatment because he was close to the Malchus. This Gemara, by the way, is written in smaller type. If you look there inside the Gemara, you could see it's much smaller because originally it had been taken out by the censor because it says things about the Malchus and they were afraid to leave it in. And later on, in the last few hundred years, it was added back in by more recent printings where we don't have these fears anymore. The Gemara says whoever slaughters his Yetzer Hara by not letting it get to him, he gets the schus of being Mechaber Hashem in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And finally, anyone who is humble, it's as if he has brought all of the karbanos at once, and his tefillos will be accepted. The Mishnah. When they were 10 amos away from the Beis Haskila, they would tell the Beis Din to say vidui, confessions, since anyone who confesses gets a chelek in Olam Haba, and vidui helps to achieve an atonement. If this person doesn't know how to say vidui, we should have him simply say that this death should atone for all of my averis. Gemara. The tzaddikim were not punished for hidden averis until the Klal Yisrael came over the Yarden and heard about this subject at Har Grizim and Har Evel. This is learned from the dots on top of the pasuk in Devarim Chavtes, Hanistaris Hashem Elokeinu v'hanigleis lanu ulevanenu ad oilam. Daf Mem Dalet. Ochan pulled the skin over his aver to appear uncircumcised. He also did an abomination in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara also says that Achan, aside from violating Yehoshua's instructions not to take the spoils of Yericho, committed many other averis as well. In fact, says the Gemara, Achan violated the entire Torah. However, despite his many averis, the Gemara learns from the pasuk that he nevertheless was still classified as a Yisrael. He didn't lose his status as a Yid. Afal pisha chata Yisraelu. One halachic ramification of this Gemara relates to the laws, the halachas of a minyan. The halacha requires a minyan of 10 Jews to be present for the recital of Kaddish and Kedusha. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Nun Hei Sif Aleph says that even if a person who does many averis and who transgresses many of the laws of the Torah and he comes to be included in a minyan, he can be counted in as one of the 10 men to complete a minyan. Because as our Gemara says, afal pi shechata Yisrael, a person, even if he does all the averus, as long as he's still a yid, he's a yid, and therefore he can be counted as part of a minyan. Poor people talk in a quiet fashion, for example, like Moshe, while wealthy people tend to talk in a tougher fashion, i.e. Yehoshua. A person shouldn't give a greeting with shalom, the shame of Hashem, at night, because we're afraid of shadim. Rav said that learning Torah is greater than hakravas karban tamid. If someone tells you a secret, it's important that you don't reveal it to anyone, as we learned that Hashem did not reveal to anyone the secret of Avram and Sarah about the yichus that they came from, the bad yichus, in fact, that they came from. A person should always daven before a potential tzara so as to ask for rachamim. Rabbi Yochanan says that whoever exerts himself with tefillas down here, no one will be able to be his enemy up there, i.e. in Shamayim. The Mishnah. When the Baal Din was 4 amas away from the Beis HaSkila, they would undress him and cover him in front. A woman they covered in front and in back because of arayis. The Chachamim say, only man is stoned undressed. Daf Mem Hei, the Gemara. Normally, many parts of an Isha are considered arayis, but here we're not choshish that people will have a taiva for her because she's about to be put to death. Since the Pasuk says, V'yahavta l'reacha kamaycha, we want to choose the most pleasant form of Misa so as to minimize pain and embarrassment. The Rabbanan says, one holds self-respect is more important than less pain. That's why we stone him while he's dressed. Rabbi Yehuda says, less pain is more important to a person, so it's better for the woman to be undressed. The next Mishnah. The height of the Beis HaSkila was 2 stories high. One of the Edim would push him, so he falls on his side. If he dies, then that's it. He died. If he doesn't die, the second aid would throw a big rock on him. If he still doesn't die, all of Klal Yisrael would come to stone him. Gemara. The stone that was used for the stoning, the tree that was used for the hanging, and the sword that was used for the killing, each of these were buried within the dalet amas of the person who was killed with the item. If someone has a ben sirer umayra, a rebellious son, parents must take him to Bezdin to be put to death. But if one of the parents is missing an arm, or the parent is blind, or is deaf, there's no din of ben sirer umayra, since the pasuk says they must grab him, and benenu zeh, which is mashma, they can see him, and enenu shemea bikalenu, which is mashma, they can hear him. This comes to exclude a deaf person. The next Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says anyone who gets stoned is hung as well. According to the Chachamim, hanging only happens to a Megadef, one who blasphemizes, or to an Eved Avodah Zarah. When a man is hung, he faces the people. A woman faces the tree. The Chachamim say a woman is never hung. Daf Mem Vav, the Gemara. The Chachamim say we only hang a man, because the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'salisa Aysai. That comes to exclude Aysa, a woman. Bezdin doesn't sentence 2 deaths on one day, even if it's 2 different people for the same Avera, for example, like Arias. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Bezdin can give Malkus or give Misa for an Avera, which isn't in the Torah, in order to protect the Torah. For example, someone once rode a horse on Shabbos, and they gave him Misa, because at that time it was Roy Lekach. The next Mishnah. How is hanging done? They put a beam of wood into the ground, and a second beam sticks out of it, and we hang the person. We're not allowed to leave him overnight, because if you do, you're over on Chil Hashem. When a person is in pain from an Avera, the Shechina also feels the pain of that person. Not only is it usur to leave someone who is killed overnight, but anyone who dies, it's usur to leave them overnight, unless it's needed for Kaved Hameis. A person who was stoned wouldn't be buried by his Mishpacha in the same area, in other words, of the cemetery, if the Mishpacha, was tzaddikim. Gemara. You are only allowed to use for hanging a tree which still isn't growing. You cannot use a tree which is growing. If someone leaves a dead body overnight and doesn't bury it, he's over on a leisase. From Kavar Sikbarano, we learn a remez of Kfura in the Torah, and we learn that it must be buried, that a person who dies must be buried in the ground. What is the purpose of burying a mace? Or answers, so that the person isn't embarrassed by his body rotting in front of everyone? Or is it for the purpose of kapara? What about hesped? Is that for kavod hames, or kavod to the remaining relatives? More answers, it's for kavod hames. Daf Mem Zayin. Reb Nosson says, it's a good simen for the mace if he's mechabel and einish after death. For example, If a beast dragged him, this is like a good kapara. There was a story of a man who was accidentally thrown into a cemetery and landed next to the bones of Elisha, and he awoke as though it was Tchias HaMesim. This Tchias HaMesim was in addition to the son of the Isha HaShunamis, which Elisha was responsible for. A person who is a Metzera is considered to be like a mace. We see this from Miriam. If one is stoned, the relatives are not mechuyev to be misabel for him. This is because kapara for him is achieved after he is already in the grave, while avelus begins mistimas hagoylo, when the cover of the coffin is put on. Since at the time of the avelus, he was still considered a rasha, there's no din of avelus later on. A grave is osur bahana, unless it was simply an open grave designated for someone who will eventually die. The Gemara says a kever hanimtza, one buried in an open field without the consent of the owner, it can be moved. And once it's moved, the old location is mutter bahana. A kever hayadua, one who is buried with the consent of the owner, you cannot move the kever. And if it was moved, the spot becomes osur bahana midrabanan. And finally, a kever ha-mazik harabim, a kever which inconveniences the tzibur, it can be moved, but the spot is not tomei. Finally, if someone weaves a shroud for a dead person, Abaye says it becomes osur bahana, since hazmana milsehi. Once you designate something for a mace, it becomes osur. Rava says it's mutter, since hana lav milsehi. Daf memches. If someone dug a grave for his father, but he then buried him somewhere else, the old grave is osur bahana. This isn't because of hazmana milsa, but simply due to kvaid aviv. The Gemara says if money is collected for the purpose of burying one specific ani who died, so this extra money, which is left over, which is called meiser hames, this leftover money is mutter for the yarshim to have hana from. However, if it was meiser lemeisim, it was collected for many aniim who died, then any money left over is usser to the yarshim. If a bag was used for the purpose of storing tefillin, this bag now becomes usser to use for money, since it was once used for kaidish, for tefillin. If tefillin were covered with gold or with the skin of a behemah tmea, they're usser. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, even if it was with a behemah tahira, if they're not sewn lishma, they're also considered to be pasul. The halacha is like Rava, that hazmana is lav milsa. If someone is married b'malchus, he acted in a rebellious way to a Melech Yisrael, he is put to death. This is called Haruge Malchus. The Chachamim say, the property of Haruge Bezdin, someone who was killed by Bezdin, goes to the Yarshim. But property of Haruge Malchus goes to the Melech. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even the property of Haruge Malchus goes to the Yarshim. And finally, people say, Tehei Luta v'loi Tehei Lata. It's better for one to be cursed than to curse someone else, because if the curse isn't for a good reason, it'll come back to you, like we see from David HaMelech, when the curse went back to Shlema HaMelech. Daf Mem Tes. If a Melech tells you to do something which is connected to Torah, you do not have to listen. The halacha of Meir B'Malchus is learned from the pasuk of Yehoshua, Perek Aleph, Kol Ish Asher Yemare Espicha. David HaMelech had in his service 400 young lads, who were Yefas Tayar, and were the strong men of David, who would go in the front to protect him. Yoav led the milchama for him, but without David's Torah, Yoav wouldn't have been able to win the war. Avner, Shaul's general, killed Asael, who was pursuing him and trying to kill him. Afterwards, Asael's brother, Yoav, avenged Asael's blood and killed Avner. Our Gemara relates that the Sanhedrin subsequently questions Yoav's right to kill Avner, inasmuch as Avner was merely acting in self-defense, and the halacha permits one to kill his pursuer, his raidif, in self-defense. Yoav, however, defended his actions by explaining that Avner, who was an expert swordsman, could have easily disabled and disarmed Asael in self-defense without killing him. Al-Hadaf brings Rabbi Yonason, who says in the Gemara, on Daf Peidalot Amar Aleph, that a nirdaf, one who is being pursued, who could defend himself by inflicting a non-fatal injury and disabling his pursuer, is subject to Misa as a murderer if he fatally and needlessly kills his attacker instead of just simply disabling him. Finally, although Yoav killed Avner, and he killed Amasa, his house was full of tzedakah, and it was open to all aniyim. This marks the end of this parak.